Good morning to all. I look forward to celebrating with you this morning both the amazing feast that the Lord provides for us in the sacrament, but also installing your new pastor who happens to be hiding behind the guitar over here. Good to be here with you, Randy. You should have a bulletin handy of one size or another. I know there's large print and small and so on. I invite you to have that handy as we begin our worship. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm not sure what your tradition is here.
I'm going to invite you to stand.
There we go. We like that. With our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God, seeking forgiveness and life. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's take time now to share that peace with each other. We continue with our service. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Let us pray. Almighty God, by grace alone you call us and accept us into your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
First reading is from Jonah, chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a three-day walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast. And everyone great and small put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Please lead the psalm responsively in the bold parts. For God alone I wait in silence. Truly my hope is in God. God alone is my rock and my salvation,
my stronghold, that I shall never be shaken.
In God is my deliverance and my honor. God is my strong rock and my refuge. Put your trust
in God always, O people. Pour out your hearts before the one who is our refuge.
Those of high degree are but a fleeting breath. Those of low esteem cannot be trusted. Placed on the scales together, they weigh even less than a breath.
Put no trust in extortion, and robbery take no empty pride. The wealth increase, set not your heart upon it.
God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongs to God.
Steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay all according to their deeds.
The second reading according to 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. After John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
If all the kids want to come on up, all the kids. If you're under 18, come on down. And if you're over 18 but you feel like you're less than 18, come on down too. All right, good morning. Good morning. Yeah, there we go. Oh, I love this. This is so much nicer than being up here all by myself. This is fantastic. So, usually when we come up here, can you sit flat? Sit flat. Usually when we come up here, I start talking about what we just heard being read to us, and we talk about that a little bit, right? Right? Everybody should be going, yeah, she does that. She does that from time to time. So today, though, we're going to mix it up a little bit. This time, you guys are going to be in control because we have a brand new pastor. His name is Randy Scow-Anderson. He's sitting right over there. He can wave because Greg is, like, over that way. So he's our new pastor. He's here for good. He's with us. Well, not for good, but, you know, we'll get there.
Beats them for bad.
Yeah. But how many of you know him already? Well, you've met him, right? You've met him. Do you know all about him?
No.
Because there's like a whole group of people back there that can say, oh no, we know him. They're his family. I see them all sitting right back there because, well, I know his wife, Lori. She's waving to us. And I'm guessing those are the kids, right? So they really know him. They know everything about him. But we don't. And so we get the opportunity now. We're going to ask him a couple questions. So do you want to stay there? Come on up. Cool. Katie wants to ask the first question. You did not want to sing in Sunday school, but now you want to ask the first question. Settle down.
Do I get to plead the fifth?
I don't think that works today.
Oh, it doesn't work today. Okay.
Well, we'll see what the questions are. They can throw some zingers. There are, but you said, go ahead and ask. Okay, fine. Katie's got the card. Get there. What was your question? You asked earlier.
What's your favorite kind of band?
My favorite kind of band? I'm classic rock and roll.
There you go. How about somebody else? Ian had one. What's your question, Ian? Oh, you can just ask it. You didn't need to ask it off of here. What was your question?
What's your favorite football team?
Ooh, football team. I was going to hold the loaded question for the end, but we're going to hit it right from the top.
Well, I was very impressed with this. It's called The Church with the Purple Doors.
Yeah. What
my
do you mean?
My football team is the Vikings.
The Vikings.
But I tell you, this is what I do. This is when the Vikings aren't playing the Packers, I root for the Packers.
Oh, there we go. All right, Sophie has a question.
What's your favorite blanket?
My favorite blanket? Actually, my favorite blanket is a T-shirt blanket, which is made up of my old T-shirts.
Oh, neat.
And it has my whole life on it.
That's cool.
At least up to a certain point.
Well, Katie, you ask one. Somebody else. Somebody else. Come on. All right, Nick, Ryan's got one.
What baseball team do you like?
Twins.
They go hand in hand, I think. And me.
What's your favorite color?
Green. It's my eyes.
Joaquin?
It's kind of odd, isn't it? Green, and purple. Right? Anyway.
Go ahead, Joaquin.
Where did you grow up?
I never did.
That's a great answer.
In southern Minnesota. I grew up on a farm in southern Minnesota.
How about Jack? Did you have a question? No, Jack? Okay, Katie, go for it.
What's your name?
Caitlin.
Okay.
What's your favorite genre of movies?
Oh. Genre of movies. Oh, action. You know, kind of. I'm like a Lord of the Rings type of Avenger. You know. That's.
How about Maisie? Do you?
I
have
like a
question?
Lot of different kinds, actually.
No questions? Do you want to borrow one of my questions? How about anybody else? Any other questions? Go for it, Katie, if you got questions. How about birthday? Did we ask him his birthday?
When's my birthday? December 11th.
Go ahead.
The year is immaterial.
Because he didn't grow up yet, so it doesn't matter. How about Stephen? That was one question I had. How about your... Ooh, book.
My favorite book? I mean, besides the Bible?
All of them.
Actually, some of my favorite books are the Chronicles of Narnia, or the whole.
Good deal. All right, what
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you know, Prince Caspian, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Silver Chair.
What is Henry's question? Sophie says that Henry has a question. What's Henry's question? What was it? You just like raising his hand? Okay, so Henry can ask my question. What's your favorite season?
My favorite season? I think spring is... Probably me, because I like the change from what seems to be dead and things start to grow.
Awesome.
It's also the temperature my body likes.
There you go. Katie, last one.
You're a straight A student.
No. He asked if I was a straight A student. No.
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 Any last question, guys? No? All right. Well, then we will get lots of... Katie's got one last one.
Do you like video games?
Do I like video games? I don't dislike them. I just don't play them very much. I'm not very good. Just ask my kids. I mean, they're all in their 20s. I have an almost 30-year-old son now.
All right, guys. What do you say?
And guess what? Guess what? I'm going to be a grandpa.
Oh.
Isn't that cool? Well, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, guys. Nick, we will get lots of chances to ask many more questions. Oh, okay. Nick's got one.
What's my favorite food? You asked me this the other night. You're going to see if I say the same thing, aren't you? Sushi.
Ooh.
What's your favorite drink?
My favorite drink?
We'll be here all day, folks. Here we go.
The new comedy show.
What's my favorite? Coffee.
Yeah, he actually, after staff meeting the other day, he did a jig and said, "What do you mean there's not a pot of coffee ready?" He was kind of dancing his way out the office.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, guys. I think we need to move on, don't we?
Just a quick comment to all of you. When we install Pastor Randy in just a few minutes, I'm going to have you come back up and help me for one part. So just watch for that, okay? You don't have to say anything. You just have to do, just kind of hang with me, all righty? So don't fall asleep or anything. And if your parents fall asleep, thump them. All right.
Are you going to tell them when
we're... I'll tell you when to come up. You bet. All righty. Well, that was half the sermon right there. So we have half left. We're going to just roll this baby. It's good to be here with you on this day, particularly since the lessons that were appointed to be read today are a lot about either leaning into a call or running away from it. And I decided to go with leaning into the call. So we're going to go with Mark rather than with Jonah. So we're going to go positive today. And I'm going to be kind of leaning into a little bit some of the things that you've been doing and making some references to what the next steps might look like for you as people of God here in Menominee. The Gospel of Mark, you've got it printed in front of you. That Gospel, first Gospel written, you get out of breath reading it. It's so short and so fast that you barely start and you're done. And it leaves you kind of hanging. When I was at the National Youth Gathering with the Book of Faith team back in 2015, we did a huge interactive Bible study on the Gospel of Mark. And we titled it Mark the Never-Ending Story. Because the Gospel writer ends his story without an ending, thinking that the hearers or the readers of that Gospel's lives were going to produce the next part of the story. So in a sense, you are this morning one of the continuing chapters of the Gospel of Mark. So let's take a look at the verses assigned for today and tease out just a couple of things that might make sense on a Sunday when you are installing Pastor Randy to be your next regularly called pastor. One thing to keep in mind as we take a look at the Gospel of Mark is it doesn't really have the stuff you expect at the front end of the story. No baby Jesus, no mangers, no wise men, no shepherds, no angels, no nothing. He doesn't even have a verb in his first sentence. Like, seriously? Any teachers in here? Like, you never pass this. I mean, he'd make him write it over. He begins by saying, just as like a title, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Important to remember that little detail because our text begins with Jesus proclaiming what? Take a look at your text. You can speak out loud in church. It's okay. What does Jesus proclaim? Good news. And you, the reader of the Gospel, already know the good news isn't a what, but it's a who. Jesus is the good news. how Gospels begin. In other words, what Jesus says first in a Gospel sets the tone for the rest of the Gospel. In the Gospel of John, the first words out of Jesus' mouth is, what are you looking for? What in your life, what are you looking for? In the Gospel of Luke, the first words out of Jesus' mouth are a Bible reading, Isaiah 61. He reads a passage which says God is really interested in the people we're not so interested in. And his first sermon, ready? Next week, it won't happen to you. But in Jesus' case, in the Gospel of Luke, after his first sermon, the people are so fired up, they grab him, haul him out of town, try to kill him. Luckily, we're not preaching on Luke today, huh? Gospel of Matthew, first words out of Jesus' mouth, are talking about fulfilling all righteousness. All rightness of God. And Jesus is the one in which that is exploded in our midst. Full revelation. And then we have Mark. And Jesus says, first words in the Gospel of Mark, if you look at verse 14, right? I mean 15, I should say 15. Let's read it together. Verse 15, Gospel of Mark. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Jesus is the good news. Repent and believe in the good news. Repent is something, in a sense, you've been about that for the last couple of years. Repent isn't some sort of state of mind. Repent is actually a turning around and reframing, redirecting one's life from what you had been, you know, stuck in to what God might be pointing you towards. Repent. Turn around. Believe the good news. And see where that leads you. Part of your call, Randy, in the midst of that weekly repentance, confession, and forgiveness, is to keep reminding these saints of God, what is God calling us to do? Instead of being turned in to the Purple Door Church, what happens when we go out of the Purple Doors into the community? As we follow that trajectory out into service in the community. That's part of what you're called to be doing. Let's take a look at a couple more things in the gospel text that we had. So Jesus goes strolling along, and he's seeing some folks fishing away. These aren't your poverty-stricken fishermen. They have like hired men and so on. So this isn't exactly what you'd call like, well, what else were they going to do, you know? So they were leaving something of significance behind. Jesus turns to them in verse 17 and he says to them, follow me. Let's stop right there. Follow me. That's really a rotten translation because it doesn't get at the real oomph of the thing. What Jesus is really saying is, okay, I want you all to get in line behind me and come along behind me. So in other words, the way I'm living, what I'm doing, what I'm saying, you follow me. You come in behind me. You live that way. The same words are going to be said again at the exact middle of the gospel. In chapter 8, it's sort of like the turning point, the tipping point of the whole gospel. Everything's been going pretty good. They're just really rocking along. The disciples are seeing some amazing stuff that Jesus is doing. And finally Jesus says, well, I'm just going to let you all in a little secret. It seems hunky-dory right now. It's really cool to be following Jesus, to be going along behind him. But I'm just going to tell you, it won't be long, and I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be crucified and then rise again. That's what coming along behind me actually means. And our good buddy Peter doesn't come off so well in the Gospel of Mark. Peter decides he would rather serve God in an advisory capacity. He says to Jesus, I don't think so. That's not kind of what we had in mind as following behind you, coming along behind. And Jesus says to Peter the same thing he said to Peter right here. He says to Peter, Peter, I want you to come along behind me. We're not going in the way you think we are. This is not going to be like how to get the wealthiest you possibly can be by following Jesus. This is about you following in behind me, suffering in for the sake of the other, rather than grabbing all the gusto you can because you only go around once. Even if you are a Vikings fan, what can I say? Lest you despair, like, whoa, I'm not quite there yet. The next piece of that same verse is, again, English teachers, you're going to love this, verb tense matters. It's an infinitive. So you're supposed to be following or coming along behind Jesus, and then Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of people. But the verb tense isn't like a one and done. And this is, again, where your ministry is going to come in, Randy. This is an ongoing thing. Becoming fishers of people, becoming disciples, becoming followers is something that is a lifetime's journey. The reason we call pastors, the reason we have Sunday school teachers, the reason you elect spiritual leaders to be on your council is because together we're being invited to be on that journey of becoming followers of Jesus. It's not something that happens like that. How is your journey going right now? How are you doing at being fishers of people? And sort of maybe partway there? On the way? I'm on the way. Bishop Hoimy's on the way. Pastor Roy Scar Anderson's on the way. Pastor Randy's on the way. And you're all on the way. That's why we gather around an altar on Sunday morning and get fed and nourished, so we're strengthened to be on the way. One last thing. In the Gospel of Mark, a Greek word shows up 42 times. That same Greek word shows up in the whole New Testament only 52 times. Words matter, right? Anybody's been in an argument? Know that words matter. That Greek word is oithos. Go ahead and say it. Oithos. So this isn't a Greek lesson. But it's a word that sticks in your brain. Because oithos is, in a sense, what I'm hoping is true for this community of faith. It's translated immediately. Not, you know, when I get around to it and I don't have nothing else to do and there's no football game on and, well, the dishes are done. No, the word is oithos, immediately. 42 times out of 52 times, it's in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, as I said at the beginning, rushes us along. From Mark's perspective, the time to become a follower of Jesus, the time to be about the process of living your faith, the time to be how do we serve the neighbor, is immediately. Or as Martin Luther would say, how soon? Not now, becomes never. So Pastor Randy, immediately is the time to get started. Leaders of the congregation, immediately is a time to think again about how do we hear from the neighborhood, how we can be serving. Immediately is how we can be generous and through our offerings actually fund the ministry that you're imagining you can do. My prayer for all of you, and this is the wrap up in case you're wondering. My prayer for all of you is that you have a clear vision of where God is inviting you to serve. My prayer for you is that you have the strength and the patience and the wisdom to empower these saints of God in that service. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. I think we're going to stand and sing.
This last Wednesday, I met the confirmation kids for the first time, and I invited them to say a sentence, repeat the sentence. And it's a sentence that I learned from one of the people that I go to for thoughts on sermons and things like that, by the name of David Lois. And I'm going to ask you to repeat that because it goes with what we just heard and with what we're just going to sing. I want you to repeat after me. I am a child of God. Worthy of love and respect.
Worthy of love and respect.
And God will use me to change the world.
God will use me to change the world.
Let's say that again. I am a child of God.
Worthy of love and respect.
And God will use me to change the world. And then I told the kids, my prayer for you, for them, and for you, is that you come to believe it. Come to the lakeshore. So much for your thing. There we go. I'm sorry. One, two, three. Bum.
Kathy to come forward. And Pastor Randy, you can join me right up here. Having been authorized by the church to install the Reverend Randy Scow Anderson, our co-worker in the gospel at Christ Lutheran Church in Menominee, Wisconsin, I now ask for certification of this call.
We of Christ Lutheran Church of Menominee, after prayerful deliberations, have elected Reverend Randy Scow Anderson to be our pastor. We present him for installation.
Thank you, Kathy. We're Lutherans. We can't help ourselves. We wrap what we do up in Scripture, and I'd like to share three passages with you before we continue. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And then from the famous ending of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And this final one from Timothy is Pastor Randy's favorite by far. You can tell from the beginning of it. "Let no one despise your youth," even though you're going to be a grandpa. Okay. "But set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting," and here's that teaching thing showing up again. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Some questions for you. Pastor Scow Anderson, in the presence of this congregation, will you commit yourself to this new trust and responsibility and promise to discharge your duties in harmony with the constitutions of the church?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you preach and teach in accordance with Holy Scriptures and the confessions of the Lutheran Church?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you love, serve, and pray for God's people, those here and those out there? Will you nourish them with the Word and the Holy Sacraments, leading them by your own example in the use of the means of grace, faithful service, and holy living?
I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Will you give faithful witness in the world that God's love may be known in all that you do?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Almighty God, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength to perform them.
Amen.
No, you don't get off the hook. All of you, saints of God, friends and family, I have some questions for you. And you, people of God, will you receive this messenger of Jesus Christ, sent by God to serve God's people with the gospel of hope and salvation? Will you regard Pastor Scow Anderson as a servant of Christ and as a steward of the mysteries of God? This next short little question is the biggie. This is where it's going to make it or not. Will you pray for Pastor Scow Anderson, help and honor him for his work's sake, and in all things strive to live together in the peace and unity of Christ? Let's say that one more time.
We will, and we ask God to help us.
The office of pastor at Christ Lutheran Church of Menominee is now committed to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Are your knees working? If they are, I'd like
you
to.
Oh, yeah.
All righty. Got to check, because mine don't. Now, young people, I said I was going to need your help. Now is the time. I invite you to come and surround Pastor Randy. You get all sides of him. And I'm going to, some can be in the front, some on the side, some in the back. You do not have to kneel. His job is the kneeling. Your job, and some can stand right up here. Come on right up in there. So you need to be able to reach his shoulders. So some of you in the back, come right around over here. I want you to put one of your hands on his shoulders. So come on right up here so you can reach. That's okay. You can come right up here and put your hand right there, right on his shoulders. That's it. Because you are the representatives of the congregation. And your hands and the pressure he feels of your hands symbolizes the hands of everybody, because we're going to ask for a special blessing now on the work that he's going to do. And you are the ones with your hands that are doing the blessing. Here are the words. And thanks for being the blessing hands of the whole church. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you, Pastor Randy, with everything good that you may do God's will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all of you say with me, Amen. Thanks for your help. And you can sit down again. And now I invite the three representatives of the congregation to take your place at the font and the pulpit and the altar. Pastor Randy and I are going to start down here by the font. Each of these are tools, just like tools in a toolbox. Whatever your profession is, you have tools that you use. Pastors use these tools in order to equip and support all of you so that you can come in behind Jesus and be followers in the making. We'll start here with the font. Let me step out of the way.
You have been called to be among us to baptize, to teach, and to forgive sins.
Thank you. And now we'll step right up by the pulpit.
You have been called to be among us to proclaim the good news.
And from the pulpit to the altar.
You've been called to be among us to lead worship and preside at the Holy Communion.
And then I invite all four of you to stand right up here in front as representatives of the congregation and Pastor Randy. Now, I don't know if Packer fans and Viking fans do this the same way, but where I come from, when we get really excited and something special has happened, we applaud. Welcome, Pastor Randy, to the ministry here at Christ in Menominee.
Can I say a word?
You can say a few things, and the three of you and I will sit down.
I'm very excited about being here with you and hanging my shingle out. This is my shingle. And the story with this shingle is this shingle was from the very first church that I served. They gave it to me because when I was leaving, they didn't have any other use for it. So they just said along with me, Bethany Lutheran Church, Nidelbergen, Minnesota. And I carry this with me wherever I go, and I will hang this here also now. And my hope and my prayer, God willing, that this is the last place I'll hang my shingle. So thank you for calling me, and I look forward to our ministry together. And I say that ministry together because it's our ministry together. Thanks. This I invite you to stand as you're able as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the powerful Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again as the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May be seated. We'll receive our morning offering at this time. Would you please stand?
We all are one in mission. We all are one in call. Disunited in Christ the Lord of all.
Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their need. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks this day for calling us together as your people, sustaining us by your Spirit, and helping us to move forward in your mission. May we look outside our doors to see the needs of our neighbor, the needs of your world. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Loving God, we give you thanks for your creation. We give you thanks for the beauty, for the challenges, for the changes of seasons. We give you thanks for the bounty you provide for our need. Help us to care for that which sustains us. Let us pray. Oh God, this day we give thanks for all those who gather, who share in the mission and ministry of this church. We pray for your vision for us, to help us to see where we are to go, and give us the will and the courage to follow. Let us pray. We lift up before you today those of whom are concerns, those people who are sick, those who struggle with addictions, those who are struggle in relationships. We pray for healing, healing of relationships, strength to overcome addictions, and the spirit of healing, patience, and courage for those who struggle with life. We pray for those whom we name in our hearts now. Let us pray. We give you thanks for raising up leaders within our country. We pray for them today as they continue to struggle with making decisions that will help all people. We pray that you will give them wisdom and guidance and the courage to make stands and that which is just. Let us pray. We give you thanks for the witnesses that have been around us, that surround us, that have helped and nurtured us along the way. As they've nurtured us, help us to remember that we're all part of this together, and help us to step forward with the saints of old and the saints now and the saints to come. Gather us together around as your people. Let us pray. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As Jesus gathered his friends around the table on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And when the meal had ended, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Come to the table of mercy, prepared with a wine and a bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed. Come at the Lord's invitation, receive from his nail-scarred hands. Eat of the bread of salvation, drink of the blood of the Lamb.
God gives food to those who hunger. Come, be fed, be healed. You may be seated. Thank you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace and his peace. Amen. And let us pray together. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant. Amen. You may be seated. And you're able. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We sing our closing hymn. Everybody raise your hands. No. Anyway, but before we go leave, let's join together in singing our table prayer. The words are printed in the bulletin.
Be present at our table.
Be present at our table.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. Oh, that's pathetic. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay.